This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. My name is Rich Bradbury, and this is Tech Talk. On the phone with me right now, I have Nicole Tan. She is the country director at Meta. Meta is now the new name for what we knew as Facebook, which was before the Facebook. So there's been real two name changes in the last, is it 2006 they started, Nicole, around there?
Yeah, I guess.
Sometime around there, wasn't it? It was the early 2000s, at least. I do remember that. Now, can I ask you, why did Facebook rebrand to Meta? And why do you think it was now?
So I'm really thrilled about this new chapter for the company, and a couple of reasons. The name Meta captures where our company is going and the future we want to help build. Now, while we have a new company name, the mission hasn't changed. And, you know, we're going to continue to focus on letting people find, connect, on people finding communities, on growing businesses. Of course, part of it is also helping to build the metaverse. And I know that we're going to talk a bit more about the metaverse later. I think to your question on why did we change that name and why now? We wanted to address the consumer need for clarity, as our company has shared the same name as one of our apps for a long time. And, you know, Facebook started as a single product, but now we're nearly 20 years later. And, you know, our company is more than just one brand or product. So I think that's part of the reason why, you know, when we think about a name, how do we not have that confusion between one of our apps, and also talk a little bit more about the future that we want to build. And that's why we decided to choose the name Meta. And it does reflect the future we want to build towards. I don't know whether you're aware, but Meta means beyond in Greek.
Yep.
And it captures sort of the commitment that we have in terms of, you know, I think the spirit of like there's always more to build and why there's always a next chapter to the story. And I've been in Facebook, in Meta now, for more than 5 years. And one of my favorite posters has always been the journey is 1% finished. And I think that captures the spirit really well. And now that same spirit is in this name Meta and in this idea of beyond and thinking about, you know, how do we build social technologies that take us beyond our digital connection and what is possible today?
Okay, so as a science fiction fan as well, you know, the metaverse is something, you know, extremely complicated, for example. Now, in your opinion, and I guess in Meta's opinion, what is metaverse to you, and what is Meta's version of the metaverse? We've said Meta so many times today already. What is Meta's version of the metaverse, I guess?
So I think a couple of things and that I want to lay out, right? So first, obviously, the metaverse is not Meta, right? We are one of the players that is going to build this vision of metaverse. What we think metaverse is the next evolution of social technologies and the successor to the mobile internet. When you think back about internet technology and how, you know, how it's changed our lives, it's allowed us to write and talk and now see each other easily in richer ways, right? The video calls and, you know, the fact that we're doing this recording. So we think that the metaverse will be the next step. I think the additional part to that is letting us feel like we're also sharing a space together, even if we're not together in the same place. One of the best ways that I've heard the metaverse being described is it's the internet that you're in rather than the internet that you look at. So if you think back about just the last decade, right, we've shifted from desktop to mobile internet, and obviously mobile internet, you know, even for Facebook in its old days, and I know we're in a Meta now, but Facebook, mobile internet was a game changer for us. And now the next decade, it would be all about shifting into the metaverse. I think the second element, sorry.
No, carry on, please.
Thanks. The second part that's important is, and you being a sci-fi fan, I'm a sci-fi fan as well, nothing beats being together, And I want to state that out front, right? Like, I still want to smell the ocean. I don't want to hold hands. But when you can't be together in person, you do want to create a feeling of being closer and having stronger in-person connections, right? And at this stage, because we're still limited within a 2D space, right? We're still looking at a device. You know, we're still looking at rectangle. Like, right now, I'm looking at, you know, at a rectangle screen. I think the future of the metaverse has that opportunity where it's more immersive, it's more engaging, it feels like you're having a shared experience. And I think one good example of that is I just recently had a baby, and I think about, like, right now I send all my baby videos to his grandma on, you know, WhatsApp, right, on a video. Mm-hmm. But in future, it could be like a version of him crawling on their living room floor, and it just brings to life that moment in a way that's just much more closer.
Richer, almost.
Yeah, richer.
Mm. Yeah. And do you think that there'll be just one metaverse that we all share, or maybe, you know, multiple metaverses operated by different companies? What's your take on this?
I think it would be closer to, if you think about the internet. Mm. So is there one internet or there's a few internet? I think there's going to be one metaverse. But then I think the opportunity is that within that metaverse, there's going to be different worlds and different, you know, in the same way that you have different apps and the same way that you have different technologies happening. So I do think that, you know, just for context, it is not just, it will be one space, which is the metaverse, and then there'll be multiple players coming in to build that together, which is why I think it's really important that we share this vision and we have these conversations really early on, because we are not going to build or own or run the metaverse on its own. This isn't a Meta product, right? The metaverse is going to exist whether Meta is there or not. But building this is kind of like how we build the internet, right? And the opportunity we have is that if in the past we built the internet in a way that was more organic, here we are able to, you know, for example, one of the policies or one of the principles that we've laid out is don't surprise people. So we are in a position where we can share our vision, we can collaborate very early on, we can talk about, like, hey, how are we thinking through these things, principles of privacy or safety and security that we can build from the start, and collaborating with companies, with developers, with experts, with policymakers. To me, that I think is the exciting part, where in the past it was a little bit more organic. Here, well, by stating that vision up front, we're in a position to collaborate and create this space.
Mm. I think, yeah, I take what you said, and I think it's really interesting to note on how the internet kind of came about, or how it, you know, developed over the years. When it first started, you know, it was very, very organic, and I think as early users, we were all learning about the internet, you know, the pitfalls of the internet, where we could go wrong, what we shouldn't do, and how to behave. And I think over time, we've learned all of these things as early adopters of the internet. Do you think it will be different because most of the people nowadays that are big users of mobile devices and mobile technology are younger? Do you think they will probably adapt better to being somewhat guided?
I'm not sure if it's an age thing, but I do think that society does always learn. And we see that, right, from philosophically, like from ages to ages, whether it's different sort of moments in the large timeline of civilization, we do learn and we do take into practice what becomes better. So in a way, I do think that with the fact that a company like ourselves have gone out and say, like, here's what we think the vision is, and we know we're not the only ones as well, there is definitely an opportunity for us to come together to build a metaverse in a way that is better for us, that, you know, it's collaborated together, that it's more open.
Mm. Okay, I've got one question before we take a short break. In terms of technology, do you think Malaysia is ready for all of this? And how will it kind of touch on the future of work here for Malaysia?
So I think our hope is that within the next decade, the metaverse will reach, you know, a billion people and will host hundreds of billions of dollars of digital commerce, and it will have, like, you know, millions of jobs for creators and developers. And as we build towards that metaverse, I think it's more important, as we talked about a little bit, to be smart than fast. And one of the core principle, as I mentioned, is, you know, not to surprise people, which is why having this conversation out way in advance, you know, ahead of technologies being launched, is to make sure that we are building this, like how the ideal would be, like how we can build it together with companies and developers and experts. So we're at a very, very start of this. I think it will take at least 5 to 10 years for this vision of the metaverse to come to life. And so when I think about for Malaysia, what are the areas that, you know, we got to keep making progress on? I would say there are four. I think first is connectivity. So in order for this to work, it does rely on a faster, more reliable, affordable internet for everyone. And, you know, we want to continue to expand connectivity and infrastructure investments in the region. I think the second one is technology innovation. Already today, there are more than 700 million people who use augmented reality across Facebook's apps and devices every month. And the creators are coming from markets like Asia Pacific and Latin America. And especially in Asia Pacific, you see a lot of front-end developers, animators are really in this in our part of the world. So we are investing in Spark AR programs where people can, you know, pursue new opportunities. And we're starting to see some augmented reality campaigns. For example, we work with one with the United Nations Environment Program to talk about, you know, 100 days to beat plastic pollution. And that includes, you know, most markets in Southeast Asia. The third area is a talent pool and upskilling. So as we've seen, especially in the last 2 years with the pandemic, the role of digital has been even more important for the survival of businesses, right? So I think recently MDEC shared that digital job vacancies have tripled from June 2020 to April 2021. So just in a year, right, has tripled. And so we see the Spark AR ecosystem continue to grow. And why it's important for Malaysia is, you know, I think we have a lot of opportunity here to continue to develop our ecosystem. So we introduced the Spark AR curriculum, which is a free online program. And at the recent Connect 2021, we also introduced a professional course. So these are, I think, the building blocks in which, when you think about the metaverse, these are the skill sets we'll need later on. And we need to build them today. And things like Spark AR creator program certification is going to help. The last aspect, I think you touched a little bit on this, the future of work. So at Meta, we've been preparing for a hybrid of work for some time. We have a tool called Workplace, and that has really helped a sense of community and engagement, especially in communication. And we can see, you know, Workplace really come, I would say, shine in the middle of the pandemic, because you could not have, you know, those old days of like a town hall or like going for a offsite meeting, right? And they're important, you know, CEOs want to communicate with their teams. They want to be sharing their visions. And we've seen that Workplace has been very critical for them to create that sense of community and engagement. The other thing I think is exciting is Horizon Workrooms, where we've launched on Oculus. And it's designed really to help people collaborate, communicate, and connect remotely. So I think in one version of the future, in Malaysia perhaps, is where, you know, there are days where you can go to the office, there are days where you don't, and or you can even connect through Horizon Workrooms and still be able to sit in the same space and have a meeting and whiteboard ideas and socialize and hang out with your teammates, where conversations are more natural. So I say, in Malaysia, four areas: connectivity, technology innovation, talent upskilling, as well as future of work. I think those will be spaces which we can do well.
Hold that thought then. I need to take a short break. I want to talk to you a little bit more about the technology, I think, and the AR stuff that you briefly touched on just there. I'm on the phone with Nicole Tan. She's the country director over at Meta. You're tuned into Tech Talk here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Because friends matter. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Mm-hmm. BFM 89.9, the business station. I'm Rich Bradbury. This is Tech Talk. I'm on the phone with Nicole Tan, the country director over at Meta. We've been having a bit of a discussion about why did they rebrand to Meta? What is Meta? What is the metaverse? Briefly, Nicole, we touched on just before the break the idea of technology and AR and the future of work potentially here in Malaysia. Now, it wasn't so long ago that Mark Zuckerberg talked about shrinking V technology earlier this year. And how close would you say that we are to having marketable, portable, and fully wearable Meta devices?
I think a couple of things. We have launched, for example, Oculus Quest 2 globally, not in our market yet, but in the rest of the world. And obviously, as we think about the future, you know, that I think is an opportunity for us to continue to make more marketable, portable, and fully wearable Meta devices. That's one key. But I think just taking a step back, there is a lot of stake in making sure, you know, the possibilities are open to everyone, right? And we are being really inclusive when we think about the metaverse. So with any kind of transformative technology, it does take some time for everything to come together, and it will continue to evolve with time. So the work that we're doing with tech companies and also with academic researchers and many others will determine what sort of this future will look like. And, you know, there's a lot of responsibility that we're considering in there, you know, questions about diversity, equity, inclusion, they're not necessarily easy to resolve, right? Like, you know, what are the, how do we make sure that's accessible? How do we make sure that they're affordable? And especially when we're thinking about technology on a global scale. What I can share is some things that we already have present now, the feeling of presence. As I mentioned, one is Horizon Workrooms, which we've just launched. And I think the other one that's interesting is the augmented reality Ray-Ban Stories. So it's not full AR yet, but I think it's a step forward in terms of how do you enhance online experiences, having creative features and all of that. Ray-Ban Stories lets you take pictures and videos, listen to music, take calls. So it's already a different experience from what you would have right now if it's just looking at a 2D device. And I think, you know, as we also go forward with things like augmented reality ads and augmented reality case studies, there is definitely going to be a lot more. For example, avatars is also another nice way of like how we're starting to see more augmented reality coming into, I would say, the mainstream. But those are two examples in which I think, you know, are progress in terms of making it more accessible.
And, you know, for you, how do you think we're going to spend our time in the metaverse?
So I think one important part to understand is that I don't know if we're going to be spending more time than what we already do on the internet, but what it will do is enhance the time that we have with the experiences that we have. And, you know, there are two things that I think play an important part. So first is communities. So how we actually think about, you know, the role of communities in this. I think that by nature, metaverse, we are social creatures, and metaverse is going to be very socially, very human technology. And I think one way for us is to bring communities to life. So a good example of that is, you know, we have lots of groups on Facebook that help. For example, the Cerebral Palsy Malaysia group, right, where you can, if you have a child who's suffering from a rare health disease, you can have the health support group. So instead of sort of spending time on that group, I think one way for us to bring that to life is you could bond and share experiences and stories with people not just in Malaysia, but also people from around the world in the metaverse. You could sit in a room together and have someone else talk about, you know, the support that they need, or share, you know, how they have addressed a certain issue, or even meet a doctor who specializes in one-on-one across the world. So I think from a community standpoint, metaverse can help with bringing that social and human aspect to life and enhance that experience. And I think that's going to really enrich the way that we spend our time there.
Yeah, I mean, what made me think about this is a lot of people spend, you know, time in what we have referred to as the third space, right? You know, that space where they find it safe to discuss things. And a lot of parents for a long time were complaining about their children spending too much time online in video games and one thing or another. And I think the misunderstanding for parents there is it's not just about kids playing video games. A lot of these kids who are playing video games have that sense of community for them. That is their third space. That is their, you know, whether it's their mama or the bar or the cafe, that is their third space. Would you agree with that?
I think we all crave community to a certain extent. We are social creatures. And, you know, whether it is, and it's not just, you know, I want to be very careful. It's not just young people who play games, right?
For sure. I'm not young by any stretch. And I play games.
Yeah, but you know, gaming is a community. Things like those things that I mentioned about those groups, like I'm a new mom, and I can tell you that one of the things I really appreciate has been the new mom communities. Just being able to find our tribes and being able to have those conversations, people who understand what you're going through, is a very, very powerful thing. So, in a sense, I understand what you're saying, that you know, we all, whether young or old, we seek our communities. And I do think that, you know, that aspect can come to life, especially in the metaverse. And we're starting to see that, right, with Horizon Worlds and things like that. And with in the gaming space, I think that's always the first example. But I would say that that's not the only example. And there are many examples where people do want to find their communities and their tribes. And I think the metaverse will help them enhance this experience, will create a new, richer experience, as you say.
Before, it was I could go on the internet, I could look at pictures of, for example, you know, the Kale Tower or the Eiffel Tower. So now we're talking about taking that idea and maybe looking at it in AR, being able to explore it perhaps. And what kind of impact do you think that would have on kids as they're growing up in this new world of the metaverse?
Yeah, I think this area is going to be very exciting and very powerful. Imagine being able to go to any university in the world and, you know, being lectured by some of the most famous teachers, or sitting next to your classmates in VR, or participating in a live hands-on training, all from your home. I think there's a couple of opportunities here. Obviously, we are doing a hypothetical point of view, but, you know, there is that opportunity where we can democratize in some ways education. So whichever country you're from, whatever socioeconomic level you're from, the idea is that you would have a much more, I would say, seamless and enhanced experience where you don't necessarily have to move out or pay for travel, right? So, I mean, if you think back, I mean, at least in my life, like if I wanted to study overseas, it was really, really difficult.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, impossible for us. And I'm hoping that in this version of the metaverse, we will have more access to education in schools, and that schools will have a more level playing field through these interesting online learning environments, and they will get a lot out of it in terms of being a much more richer experience.
Okay, Nicole, so we've spoken, you know, about how we're going to spend time in the metaverse. We've spoken about schools and learning environments, but we haven't really touched on business, you know, the kind of costs that might be involved for small businesses and how, you know, businesses in general will be able to, in the future, take, I guess, advantage of the metaverse.
Yes, I mean, the metaverse is not something immediate, but we will start paving the way for the future now. And we think it will provide an incredible economic opportunity for businesses, big and small. If I look back at my own life and you ask me, was I going to be, you know, country director for Facebook and then now Meta, I would have asked you, what's Facebook? And I think that's the excitement. What are the jobs that are going to happen, right? What are the economic opportunities, career opportunities, new roles that we haven't even begun to think about? And the metaverse is going to open up for opportunities for people in the same way. So I think, you know, in the future, businesses will be able to build out digital spaces, digital worlds. They'll be able to sell both physical and digital goods, or even think about how they can ensure they drive the right customer experience, right? It will be a very different customer experience in the metaverse. Now, bringing it back to today, global brands and companies are already utilizing AR and VR in creative ways. And, you know, we see quite a number of examples in that space. And I think as companies are thinking through how they can prepare for the metaverse, I think some examples is, you know, we're living in a hybrid world of offline and online. So thinking through how do we create a structure in our organizations for this hybrid world of offline and online. The second space is obviously applications for AR, VR are starting to become mainstream. We've seen brands start to test out, you know, shops on Instagram, test out using AR filters to sell physical or digital products. For example, Made in the UK has done that with great success. And so I think there's a lot of opportunities here to even at this stage, while the metaverse builds out, start testing out augmented reality and start testing out offline and online.
I think there's also a huge question that I think is something that me and you are going to have to come back to in about a year's time or maybe 2 years' time when this thing has started, you know, growing and we're actually seeing the metaverse, is the idea of economy and whether or not the metaverse itself will have its own economy or if it somehow ties into the economy that we actually live in at the time, because that's going to be a very complicated topic.
Yeah, and I look forward to have that conversation.
Me too. Right. Thank you very much for spending time with me today, Nicole.
Thanks for having me.
Absolute pleasure. Folks, you've been tuned into Tech Talk here on BFM 89.9. I'm Rich Bradbury. If you missed this podcast, download it from where you normally would. I recommend the BFM app. It's in the Apple App Store or Google Play. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.